T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Tony, let's go!
Ladies and gentlemen, now, won't you please make noise for Clippers forward, Kawhi Leonard!
Hey, hey, hey. Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
I know that they're thinking, you know, touchdown on every play. Every play can go for a touchdown, but that doesn't mean that you have to try and design it as if, well, this is the only way that we're going to do it. Instead of figuring out, how can we get some of those chunk yards back? How can we march down the field, sustain a drive, keep the chains moving. Like all of the old football cliches. Hit me with the cliche counter because I knocked off like 3 or 4 of those. But in this case, it actually makes sense. I wish that he would start looking at it from that vantage point instead of let's try to get that knockout punch. And then when they do have some success on offense, and you saw it last week, it's like the celebration doesn't quite fit with what had been accomplished because they're like, oh, yeah, look at me. Yeah, look at that. You're still losing. Get your asses back to the huddle and figure out something else.
Make me a bicycle, clown.
Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and I'm here with you until 2 o'clock today. We are going to spend a lot of time talking about the Bears' win over the Giants, 19-14, 5-6, an opportunity for them to win on Thursday, 5-7. Yeah! Woo! And be 500 and make people feel good on Thanksgiving and the day after Thanksgiving and all of that stuff. So we're going to talk about the game. We're going to talk about some of the things. There was some interesting stuff that I thought came out of the press conference. As a matter of fact, I thought Mitch was interesting yesterday. How about that?
Yeah, he was not there for the play yesterday.
Yeah, and you know what? I appreciated that about him. I appreciated that Mitch was like, this was trash. Like, this is not good. We won, and that's great. But we should be better.
It wasn't the normal robotic response from him.
Correct, Christopher. That is not what we saw. Rick Camp, by the way, is on vacation. Convenient that he's on vacation your last week, Tony.
Right.
Very convenient.
Mm-hmm. He's got some hosting gigs.
I think that it was the what ended up happening was that chocolate mousse pie from Gibson's just knocked him out.
The whole weekend.
He's like, I'm out. I got that sugar. I can't come into work today or for the rest of the week, which it does. By the way, you are listening to a Built for Tough Bears Monday here on The Score. Christopher Dickens sitting in for Rick Camp. Tony Gill, a.k.a. Tone, a.k.a. Tony Two Bags, a.k.a. Tony, has done it again in his last week as the executive producer of this show. Let me start with some stuff that I thought was good yesterday. I want to focus in on that a little bit before we take the train to negative town. And trust me, that train is never late and is always full when you're watching this Bears team play. Granted, they won, and that is the most important thing. So if you're just jumping in, and before I take the train to negative town, understand the most important thing for this Bears team right now is that they won. And that they give themselves another chance to get back to 500 on Thursday. And then maybe if the Cowboys are still bad, the next Thursday they have a chance to go above 500. So that was the most important thing. Here were some of the things I thought was good. You saw the offense move the ball a little bit. But unfortunately, we are still only seeing them kind of do it at the end of this first half and into the third quarter. That's kind of scary. And no one over there has a real good answer for why that seems to be the case, why it seems to be that they can counterpunch coming out of the half. But overall, like, their starting game plan doesn't quite work when they're coming into a game. And here's some numbers to break it down. J.J. Stankovic, who's a guest of ours every week on before the games. Check this out. Trubisky this year in quarters 1, 2, and 4. Okay, so first, second, and fourth quarter. His numbers are 162 of 263, 1,337 yards, 5.1 yards per attempt, 6 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, 74.3 passer rating. All right? That's Mitch quarters 1, 2, and 4. In quarter number 3, this year, Mitchell Trubisky is 39 of 60, 65%, 521 yards, 8.7 yards per attempt, 4 touchdowns, 1 interception, passer rating of 107.7. WGCI. Wait, they're 107.5. It's close enough. You could kind of hear it if you dialed it in at 107.7 with a little bit of static. That's crazy that your quarterback is that much better in the third quarter than what he is in the first or second. Tony, can we load up Mitch talking about the offense? Both of those cuts, okay? The short, the super short one, I want to go with that one first. When I was watching Mitchell Trubisky yesterday on the podium, and you know this has been a year where it's a referendum on body language and stuff like that with him, I was actually proud of Mitch yesterday because there was a difference in the way that the coach talked about the game versus the way that he talked about the game. Matt Nagy was kind of like, yeah, hey, we're back, baby. You know, got to win and everything's great. And Mitch was like, nah, we won, but...
Happy we won, but it's not good enough, not nearly good enough from this offense, from myself. Can't have the turnovers, got to be better on third down, got to be better in the red zone. So enjoy the win, but quick turnaround this week, obviously, playing on Thursday. So we just got to find ways to get better and improve and quit making mistakes, especially myself.
Yeah, I think that you hit all the notes there. You hit all the notes of we need to do a better job, especially me. I can't throw that interception. Late, where you're like, what the hell was that? I can't throw the interception in the end zone. We can't be 1 out of 4 in the red zone. So I'll pass along a coaching tip that Dave Wannstedt gave me because we do the Dave Wannstedt show. As a matter of fact, when I leave here, I'll go over there and we'll get to work on that tonight. You can watch it tonight on NBC Sports Chicago. And it's something that stuck with me. When you are throwing into the end zone, if you are throwing to the back of the end zone, the throw needs to be high. It needs to be in a spot where only your guy can make a play or it's out of the back of the end zone. If you are throwing to the front of the end zone, the throw needs to be low because there's going to be a lot of people around it. And again, only so that your guy can make a play on it. Mitch got caught in between. There was communications on a side adjustment. But if you throw that ball high, only your guy has a chance for it. But I'm not here to just crush Mitch today because I actually thought that there were some super cool things that he did and they did to allow him to do what he did yesterday. And the numbers are kind of all over the place because the passer rating's bad because you have the 2 interceptions. He did throw for 278 yards. They probably threw a little too much with him throwing the ball 41 times. But then you add in the fact that he was able to run a little bit yesterday, and I enjoyed watching him get back and run. Kind of makes you question that whole hip injury thing, though, doesn't it? A lot of called stuff for Mitch to roll out and move the pocket and run into the end zone, and he practiced all week, and there were no limitations. But again, I'm not here to crush Mitch. I think he did a really good job, very solid yesterday. Other than the 2 mistakes, and the 2 mistakes could have been huge. Had the Giants been a better team, and they didn't have to be much better, had they just been a little bit better, they probably would have won the game.
Yeah, league average.
But they're trash. So the Bears did just enough for the city and won the game. But in all of the stuff where we saw launch points changing, him rolling out, them cutting the field in half for him, him doing a rollout throwback yesterday was super cool, where he rolls right and then throws it all the way back across the field to the left side. That's fun stuff. He doesn't know why they don't do hurry up more. He doesn't know why they don't do more stuff where his athleticism shines. And I appreciated him talking about that yesterday.
I could just see the defense not thinking as much. Guys are in their spots. You're not worried about the play clock. You're just seeing space. You're seeing the defense, and you're kind of just reacting. And it's something I've been doing my whole life, so it's more natural for me. But it shouldn't be any different than on the huddle. I mean, on the ball, no huddle, and coming out of a huddle, if we just have that tempo and urgency and everybody is mindful of doing their jobs, it should have the same result. But I think just the comfort level that we have with our two-minute offense is the strength of our offense right now.
That's crazy. That last part where he says strength of our offense right now is the confidence that we have in our two-minute drill.
In other words, strength for me.
Which is fine.
Exactly, which is perfectly fine.
Tony, what I hear there is a quarterback begging his coach to do what he's good at. And you can't run hurry up for an entire game. You have to be better at the other elements too. You have to be able to run a team out of the huddle, like Mitch was saying. But it seems as if we have seen for the last couple of years and towards the back end of the season last year that you have a quarterback that's saying, there's some stuff that I do well. Could we do more of that, please? And it seems like you have a coach that fights him on it. And it's taken until week 12 of this season to see all of the elements of things that Mitch does well be put into the offense. And you're going, well, wait, Lawrence, what the hell are you talking about? Well, I'm talking about Mitch's better thrower on the run. It's a weird thing, but it's true. He's better in play action than he is in the pocket. And play action is something that can work. It's when you hear offensive guys like Olin or Big Cat talking about the body blow aspect of it. Play action works because the other team thinks you're going to do it. It doesn't have to work just because you have a great run game. You don't need a great run game for play action to work. So as the Bears were building out their offense over the last few weeks, and you're going, I want to see more I formation. I want to see them run the ball. And, well, it's not working. I get that. But it has an effect. And that effect is it's going to draw up linebackers. It's going to draw safeties. It's going to make them turn their heads and go, oh, they're not passing. They're running the ball because that's what they've been trying to do all day. So why don't you do that more? And it's almost like you're begging Nagy to go ahead and just add these elements to the offense. He can't get out of it. And yesterday was the first time where I felt like there had been an actual breakthrough, where the communication between what the quarterback does well and the coach wants to do worked. And they said, okay, let's take more of these plays. Let's move Mitch out of the pocket. Let's use play action. Let's roll him out of the pocket and have him throw back to the other side. So now we're using the whole field and not just cutting off to one side. These are the things that I want him to do more often. And I don't understand why it's taken this long for Nagy to get on that train. Yes, Christopher?
It's his ego. I mean, that's exactly what it is. It's his ego. He believes his system is the way. That's why it's taken for so long for him to play to Mitch's strengths rather than him saying, Mitch, play to my strengths. Play my system. Do what I tell you to do. That is exactly what has happened through 11 weeks. It's him looking at Mitch go, do what I tell you to do. Don't tell me what you think should be done.
Well, it's square peg into a round hole. We've talked about it quite a bit. And this is not me saying that Mitch is great. I don't think he is. But I don't think that they have maximized what he can actually do. Like, that to me is the most negligent part of what we've seen from the Bears offense and coaching staff this year. It's trying to take a guy who's telling you with his play, with his body language, with the way things end up going in games, I can't do what you're asking me to do. There's some stuff that he does in the RPO stuff, and he even did some of that yesterday, which was solid. But overall, I can't do what you're asking me to do. And when defenses and better defenses than the one that they played yesterday, drop 7, drop 8, he struggles with that. they're a bad team, and I'm trying really hard to not make more out of it because it was a defense that was giving up 31 points a game, and the Bears still only scored 19. But it's clear to me that there is enough there with Mitch that if you just tailor yourself, if you humble yourself and tailor things, not unlike what we saw in Baltimore, we'll take what you do and we'll work around that instead of you working around what it is that we do.
What Andy Reid did with Matt Moore this year.
Right. Look, you're not Patrick Mahomes, so obviously the whole playbook is not open to us. But we're going to take what you do well, and we're going to keep doing it until they stop it. And when they stop it, we'll figure out a way to counterpunch that. That, to me, is the disappointment of Matt Nagy, the coach, this year. And that's where a lot of the focus should go, even though there's a lot of bad that's surrounding it. So that's kind of what I liked about yesterday's game. There were some things that didn't like. You probably didn't like them either. We're going to discuss those next here on The Score.
You know what? He played a good game. You get to go see where he's at, and I buzzed through it real quick last night and was able to notice he made a lot of good decisions. Had a couple plays, just had two plays that he probably wants back, but for the most part put us in good position. And, you know, we were able to click there at the start of the third quarter. But all in all, like you said, we got the win, and that's what's most important.
Aren't we supposed to save this song for when they play the Vikings again?
No, the truth hurts sometimes, man.
But doesn't she talk about...
There's, I don't know why people exaggerate. It's one line in the song, and she just uses it to rhyme. It doesn't, now, I don't think it means
isn't it part of the chorus, though?
Actually, yeah, it is part of the chorus, and there's actually, like, a backstory to it.
Is the song based on that story?
You should ask our friend Kenzie from B96. She was DJing in Minneapolis at the time. So, if you're like, wait, what the hell are you guys talking about? It's Lizzo, and she has a song. That's why I bring
rendition.
It up.
That was
I think
a great
so,
rendition.
I think it's better
I
than hers.
I want to go to karaoke with you now.
I think it's better than hers. I also play the flute. Is that what she plays? Clarinet? Flute? Something like that.
Flute.
Whatever. It's not really for me. I just know that that's the line, and I do know that there's a story behind that line. Any hoozle. That was Matt Nagy, and he was talking with George. That was George Offman who did that for our sister station, WBBM News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM yesterday, which we appreciate. I'm Lawrence Holmes here with you until 2 o'clock on a Built for Tough Score Monday as the Bears win 19-14 the final. They escaped. They did just enough to win the game. I will tell you that along with some of the things, the negative stuff that happened, and there's a long laundry list of things that we need to discuss, there was some good that I wanted to talk about. After weeks and weeks and weeks, we finally saw Khalil Mack go back to being Khalil Mack.
He takes the snap. Pressure comes from behind. Mack hits him. Ball is out. Scooped up by Nick Williams inside the 5-yard line of the New York Giants. Khalil Mack, heard from, brings him down with the sack. And the strip, his fifth forced fumble. And the Bears are in business.
Do you think that Jeff Joniak has in his quiver fade to Mack if Mack sacks a quarterback to end a game? Have I just given him a tip?
I think he didn't put it together yet, but I felt like...
But that wasn't a moment for it.
Yeah, no. I felt like if it happens... I think he has enough in there that it will come together like that automatically.
Okay. All right. So, like, let's say this week he gets who's playing quarterback for Jeff Driskel? If he gets Driskel on the last play of the game, fade to Mack, right?
I mean, it's kind of cheesy, but that's his thing.
That's what play-by-play guys are supposed to do. They're supposed to be a little bit cheesy. Here's what I appreciate. Players lie often to you through us. It happens all the time. It happens less often than coaches lying to us, which is almost all the time. And don't even get me started on executives who don't do interviews. But sometimes players will share the truthiest of truths. And I really appreciate it in a week where people were making excuses for Khalil Mack. where you point out, well, he's not getting to the quarterback and he didn't have a statistic. He didn't have a tackle. There weren't any pressures, no QB hits, like none of that stuff. We're like, well, you know, what happens is the unit gets double and triple teamed. So he's really having an effect on the game. Chuck Pagano's like, we only had him rushing four times. Why did you drop him into coverage so much? Which is a whole nother thing for another time. But I appreciate when Mac was presented with this. When he was presented with all of the excuses that everyone made for him last week, this was his response.
Your defensive coordinator said that even though you didn't show up on the stat page last week, that you were still doing your job. Do you look at it that way when you don't show up on the stat page?
Hell no, man. I like to make an impact on the game, and but you know, team's gonna do what they feel like they got to do to kind of keep me away from.
That's why I appreciate him. He gets it. You don't have to make excuses for him because he knows. He knows that he's paid to go kill the quarterback.
I think they probably also had to do it out of fear. Just don't tell Mac. You know, we got him.
Like when I was at the celebrity softball game and he struck out and we didn't tell him.
Nobody told him, yeah. Similar situation.
You get four strikes, Khalil. I mean, yeah, you didn't hit the ball at all three times in a row. But throw him another one. It's the scene from Casino where Joe Pesci is just like, nah, throws the card at the dealer. Another one. Nah. Throws a card at the dealer. Go ahead, Khalil. Just keep going. You'll hit it eventually, I think. It's always cool to see athletes out of their element. Football players trying to hit a baseball or softball. Basketball players throwing out the first pitch. It's always funny to me when I see that type of stuff happening. Oh, should we get to the bad now? Do we want to talk about the bad? Like, we talked about Mitch being good. We talked about Mac being back. Wait. Let's stay with the good for just a second. Let's talk about Allen Robinson yesterday. Allen Robinson's numbers were amazing yesterday on 6 catches, 131 yards. But in telling you the good of Allen Robinson, I also have to tell you the bad. He could have had 200 yards of receiving yesterday. But Cody Whitehair has got his hands in a face mask, and you get that type of thing called back. I joked yesterday that it's kind of like the Paula Abdul song. Two steps forward, I take two steps back. We come together because opposites attract. Or the Family Guy version, because I'm dressed like a cat. And you saw that happen yesterday. Pat O'Donnell is a perfect example of this. Kicks a 60-yarder. Also shanks one. Bears offense moves the ball. Bears offense gets into the red zone yesterday and goes 1 for 4. 60-yard play. Call it back. Because illegal hands to the face. We have ultimate trust in Eddie Pinheiro. Start the game off by kicking it out of bounds. There's one specific sequence that happened in yesterday's game. Remember last week when I was talking about sideline CEO? There was one particular sequence that is a great example of what I'm not seeing from Matt Nagy. I'll share that with you next here on The Score. At 1 o'clock, Anthony Herron will be here with me, and we will talk about what he has on his notepad from the Bears game. Programming note, tomorrow, if you are an AEW fan, Cody Rhodes is going to be on the show tomorrow at 1. We did the interview this morning. It's really good, as per usual. So shout out to AEW. They're going to be at the Sears Center tomorrow. AEWTix.com. Not tomorrow, Wednesday. AEWTix.com if you want to get tickets. But he's one of those people that has kind of drawn me back into wrestling, like caring about wrestling. So we had a conversation about that, and I will share that conversation with you tomorrow. I'm not going to do it today because today is a Built for Tough Bears Monday on The Score, brought to you by your local Ford dealers and the Built for Tough F-150, the official truck of the Chicago Bears. Okay, let's talk about bad stuff that happened yesterday. If you've been listening to this show, I've been talking about how I want Matt Nagy to be a better sideline CEO. I want him to handle things on the sideline better. And I am, it's why when he got questioned by Hub or Moon Mullen about giving up the play calling aspect of it, to me it made sense because there's so much stuff that's going on from play to play, from moment to moment. And I want him to be able to be focused on all of those things and not just whether or not his offense works. Clearly, his offense working is a big deal and part of the reason why the Bears wanted him here in the first place. But you got to make sure that the other stuff works. You have to make sure that everything that you're trying to do is going to make sense and that your sideline is working as hard as it can. There's a sequence yesterday that made me go, really? Like, still that there are problems? And the sequence starts off great. It starts off with them calling a kind of cool play and using Mitch Trubisky at what he does best.
Snap, Trubisky going to keep it. Right side, he's in for the touchdown. As the play clock's expiring, Mitch Trubisky rolls in from three in a designed run and whips the football in the air in exuberance. Bears 19, Giants 7.
Fantastic. Bears take a 19-7 lead. Mitchell Trubisky drives them after the quick turnaround and the strip sack from Khalil Mack. They get to the end zone. Mitch runs the ball in. You're feeling great. Things are good. 19-7, that's 12 points. The card says go for two in that situation. No problem there. I'm all for it. That's using your analytics department and simple math. So the Bears do this on the two-point conversion.
Right side slot, Cordarrelle Patterson now in motion left to right, Gabriel. Mitch under center, takes the snap, rolling to his right, throwing back. Right side in the end zone, Gabriel for two and a penalty marker.
Got an unbalanced line there. They got all the offensive linemen over to the right-hand side.
Let's go down to Mark Rohde.
I can hear Robinson yelling.
Hey, offense, number 12. Chicago guys, I can hear. To enforce this 10-yard penalty from the kick spot, they will kick from the 15-yard line.
Allen Robinson was yelling because he got called for a pick play. He didn't sell it very well. Oh, and before that, the Bears called timeout to get that play called. So Robinson's hot. So now it's like, okay, you can't go for two. You got to kick for one. Robinson's hot. Nagy's hot. Nagy's following the official up and down the sideline, yelling about, screaming, saying, look at the screen. These players are, look at the screen. I don't know if they know this, but no official in the history of the NFL has overturned a call by looking at the screen in the stadium. So you can point at it all you want. That's not going to change things. Meanwhile, the Bears now have to line up for this extra point, which with Eddie Pinheiro lately has been a bit of an adventure. So they've moved it back, and then this happens.
It'll be 43 yards. This is a 43-yard field goal.
They're missing one guy.
Missing a guy.
Yeah, missing a guy. Get out there.
Get out there, man. Yeah. Urban's rushing out
there.
He got plenty of time.
He got 15 seconds.
Yeah, now,
now it's an illegal formation.
Illegal substitution. 12 men in formation by the offense. 5-yard penalty.
But they weren't missing a guy. There were already 11 guys out there. So now they have to push it back another 5 yards. Now you've taken your two-point conversion and your great play by your quarterback to get you into the end zone. That's now turned into a 48-yard kick to get 1 point. And we were all thinking it. We were all thinking as the Bears moved backwards from the goal line, oh no, something bad's going to happen because 48 is where things went bad last week and where they decided they didn't want to kick from. But now you're trying to get the 1 point, so you send Eddie out there and...
Here's the snap and placement. Eddie winds up. End over end to the upright. No good. Shoved it left, it appears. 48-yard for the extra point. The two-point conversion try wiped out by penalty.
That's bad. Yes, Tony?
The funniest thing about that is after every score, field goal or touchdown, they play Bear Down, Chicago Bears, and they bring out the flags and all the fanfare. So after all of that,
Bear Down. And everyone's like, oh, we left the door open.
Nobody sang.
No one sang. It's just like that whole sequence is just problematic because it's another example of Matt Nagy not having a great handle on what's going on. You got guys just running on the field. It's like, we don't have enough guys. I'm going to go and save us. No, you're not supposed to be out there. Wait, what? We had 11? We already had 11? My bad. No, it is your bad. And it's probably a coach's bad, too. And then Eddie can't make the extra point. This was Matt Nagy's, his explanation of what happened. And I want you to understand that I'm going to make fun of Matt Nagy for this, okay? But I also want you to understand that I understand the position that he's in. He has to explain this. He doesn't want to bust toss anybody. And there were plenty of people to bust toss on that sequence, including himself. But his explanation just is mwah.
We knew going into it, actually the drive prior, that in that situation, well, going into that drive, if we scored, we were going to go for two. So, and then unfortunately we had a misalignment on the formation where I had to call timeout there. So, you know, that's on me. I want to make sure that our guys understand that. And, we got to all be better there.
And then he went on and he kept talking about, oh, well, Massey was out. So then we had a guy and then he was going to go on the field and then he went on the field. You knew what you were going to do. You knew what the play was going to be. You scored the touchdown. Your sideline went crazy in celebration, and no one was in control of what was happening on the goal line. So you end up in a bad formation that forces you to call timeout. And then we get on with it, and you have this nightmarish sequence of events that leads to you being pushed all the way back to a 48-yard try for one, and your field goal kicker misses it. This is what I mean by sideline CEO. Things need to run more smoothly than that. I get that not everything is going to be perfect, but think about all of the things that have to go wrong to get to the point where Eddie Pinheiro, instead of you going for two, Eddie Pinheiro is trying for one from 48 yards. Those are the types of things that make me question whether or not Nagy being in charge of everything is great. Like, he can be better than that. I give him credit for getting the timeout because you'd hate to have been pushed back because of an illegal formation, which still looked illegal from Tom Thayer's eyes. Tony, put the cut back up of the two-point conversion play. Because as the flag's being thrown, Thayer's like, yeah, well, I mean, it looks bad and it looks illegal. And this is after the timeout, after Nagy had said we had a bad alignment, so we needed to call a timeout. So even in... after the timeout, Tom Thayer is able to see that something else went wrong.
Gabriel in motion, Montgomery in the backfield. They're going to throw it, and Gabriel is there, and a flag comes in. He beat Valentine in the corner of the end zone.
Tony, that's Chris Field
right here. Yeah, it's going to be a push against Robinson.
Pass interference, offense number 12. Chicago has elected to enforce this 10-yard penalty. From the kick spot, they will kick from the 15-yard line.
That's Chris Spielman and Thom on Fox. I need the Thayer of him saying, that's not right. See, I'm not being a good sideline CEO right now. You find it?
Yeah, I got it.
All right,
right side slot, Cordarrelle Patterson now in motion left to right, Gabriel. Mitch under center, takes the snap, rolling to his right, throwing back. Right side to the end zone, Gabriel for two and a penalty marker.
Got an unbalanced line there. They got all the offensive linemen over to the right-hand side.
Let's go down to Mark Rohde.
I can hear Robinson yelling.
Offense, number 12. Chicago guys, I can hear. To enforce this 10-yard penalty from the kick spot, they will kick from the 15-yard line.
Grody's trying to explain to the booth, hey, these guys thought it was a pick play. And the Bears are saying it's not a pick play. It's totally a pick play. Hey, contractors, the trade deadline is coming on, but at SupplyHouse.com, you can still boost your stock with Trade Tuesday. On Tuesday, December 3rd, go to SupplyHouse.com for pro-size discounts on all plumbing, heating, and HVAC products that you need. Stock up for the season during our best sale of the year. Take it to the house. SupplyHouse.com. Anthony Heron is going to join me. We're going to swap notes and talk about what the Bears did right and what they did wrong. I hope you enjoyed our sequencing package that we put out there for you, because it simultaneously irritated the bleep out of me and made me laugh a hearty laugh. We'll talk more Bears on the other side of a timeout. You're listening to The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.